Right. I would like to call to order the March 23rd, 2023 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Here. Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. And the purpose of our meeting tonight is just to, of our work session, is really just to have several different discussions. We want to talk about one of the items in our goals and work plan this year is recognition of business partners, volunteers, donors. That's going to be one discussion. Also want to kind of revisit the idea of consent agendas. And then just also a brief review of the board protocol. I think it's kind of valuable just to take a look at it every year or two and make sure that there's nothing in here that anybody would like to, wants to revise or have questions about. So anyways, let's just go ahead and start with the protocols first. Just throwing it out there to see if there are any items in there that anyone needs clarification on or just want to talk about. Yes.
It's always been helpful if we take a couple steps back.
Sure.
Because this hasn't always existed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, 2012.
Right.
So there were a lot of issues going on with the board at that time, and I think it was suggested by, was it the
Our interim superintendent. Right. So, yeah, Amy and I had just started in January. Larry resigned in February, and we brought in an interim. I think they looked for a new one, and they said, let's just go with an interim right now. Mm-hmm. They really weren't happy with what they saw the first time that they looked. But yeah, the interim was really strong. He was a past superintendent himself, and he knew some of the history from the past board, and so he recommended coming up with a protocol that everybody could agree upon for the governance team. Thank you, ma'am. That's good. Yep. That is good.
So, and I think it's important. It's for the purpose of enhancing teamwork among members of the board and between the board and administration. We, the members of Marysville Village School Board, do hereby publicly commit ourselves to collectively and individually to the following operating protocol.
Right. And just that idea that we had three different sections. Kind of general governance team, then communications, which really is all about chain of command, and then school board meetings. Four items, and then professional growth. So we do want to make sure that we always have this idea that we want to continuously improve. So, any comment? Or I'll give it time to take a look at it.
And I think the general governance section, just looking at that, I'm comfortable with the seven items that are listed there. I think they identify kind of the broad general areas of responsibility. We all, as individual board members, know that we don't have any separate authority, that the only time that the board has authority is when we take a vote, and then it's the majority. And our protocols say that if we have a difference of opinion, that once the decision has been made by a majority vote, that all members will support that. So, and I think that's critical.
Looks pretty good. I can't believe there would be something that was left out.
You never know. Situations come up and stuff, but you know, I mean, I do think it's a good thing to review every once in a while and have that conversation because. Like if you go to communications, I know that I think that can be challenging, and I think, you know, like Dick and Bill, retired teachers. So you've got, and I know you are friends, well, like both of us have a lot of friends who are teachers because we've had kids go through the schools, and just that, trying to balance, know what our role is, you know, and know how important it is to try and stay away from questioning kinds of conversations, you know, with people that we shouldn't be doing that with. Or you know, if we do have conversations, making sure we share that with Diane, you know, because you know you're going to be out at the grocery store and somebody might say something to you. Or even if you overhear something, you know, I think it's just important to make sure that Diane or Todd are made aware, you know, as soon as possible so that they can do whatever needs to be done.
And then kind of under the school board meetings, number one says, to the extent possible, agenda items are submitted to the board president and our superintendent in advance of the meeting. Surprises to the board, treasurer, superintendent are the exception, not the rule. So, and I want to kind of, I don't think we need to add anything to that, but the idea that maybe there are things that we as individual board members would like to get more information on, that suggesting something to go onto the agenda is our purview. If you want an update on the FFA program.
And I mean, this is not, I think we all know this, but just to make sure it's out there in public too, I mean, it does not mean that, you know, you're sitting there and a question pops into your head that you can't ask that question, you know. But just put some thought into it. If it's a question that you think, you know, it's easy to have an answer, go ahead and throw it out. If it's a question that you think they might have to dig a little bit, then, you know, maybe jot down a note and say, I'll just shoot a, you know, I'll shoot an email or ask them after the meeting and ask them to share it with the rest of the board, something like that. Because I, you know, questions are good, and it is our job to hold everybody accountable and, you know, to do our best to kind of understand why things are done the way they're done, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think the practice of having the Wednesday prior meeting between the board president, the superintendent, and you asked me to join that meeting, and now Nan, as vice president, joins that meeting, and Todd is also a part, and it's, I think it's typically just those four that are involved. But I think that gives our administrators and the board an opportunity to say what are the things that we need to spend our time on at the board meeting. And as board members, we certainly have the opportunity to make suggestions for that discussion. So.
Right. Well, I know, like, Jermaine, you were asking about the TPLA, is that what it is, the teen prevention? Right, you know, like kind of using your safety committee report time to give us a presentation and add that to agenda. And I think Nan said, are we considering doing that next month? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a good example because that's been an ask for several months. But just because you submit an agenda item doesn't really speak to like what's the process. So it does a board member who wants something on the agenda, is that automatic? Because it seems to get
sometimes
or you're not necessarily getting no, but you're not getting like it's not a yes,
right
you know, I'm saying that we've like there's things that we've said, hey, we like to see, but doesn't necessarily get on the agenda. We've brought up like discussion points. I don't have any good examples. I'm just there might be some things that a board member, individual board member, wants to have discussed, but what's the process of ensuring that it gets on the agenda like in a timely manner, even if it can't be the next meeting? I mean,
right?
Because part of my role, let's use a TPLA. I mean, part of my role, like, is to be like the liaison to the board, right?
Right.
And so if I can't provide like that result, like they're asking, hey, we'd like to present.
Right.
And I can't provide that result, then my effectiveness is lower than someone who, I don't know how it was in the past, but, you know, so that's something that is concerning to me. It's like, if someone's asking me to do something on the agenda and I can't provide that deliverable, then I don't know if they're going to hold me, but, you know, if you want, that's what leadership is, effectiveness.
And I was just going to say, I know, like, when you first asked about it, I know, like, Diane had responded, what about June or July? And I knew from the past that sometimes that's challenging because the students have graduated at that point. May not be around, you know. And then I didn't see anything else going back and forth, and then that's when I had all my family issues. So I just kind of dropped the ball last year.
I mean, they're students, so saying, hey, come in, your summer break is not...
Yeah. And I think, like, we have that awareness now. I think, like, last year, it was just, and I don't know, I do know that there were a lot of things on the agenda, and so that's why the suggestion was, well, can we move it out a little bit? But I didn't even think about the fact that they were seniors and they weren't going to be around at that point. So just kind of, you know, making growing process, but...
I don't know if it was done before my time on the board. I can remember it being
done one other time because I remember Lindsay Featheroff and it might have been Lindsay and Keeley actually presented something because I think they were both on that committee. Yeah. But then I don't know, it's probably COVID hit then or something, and so we didn't have anything at that point. Yeah,
there is also because FFA used it. The public participation. Yes. But they came and made you utilize their 5 minutes of public participation to give a report to the school board. I was trying to think back. I know that there have been a couple of times when we've had, Dave Burke or Tracy Richardson come and talk to the board about some
legislative
accomplishment or to recognize somebody. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting here trying to remember if I did that as a part of my legislative report or not. But I could see where if there was an issue that was very critical to the district, you know, having them come and speak for a brief period of time, because the purpose, and I think just in terms of all the presentations and all the speakers and everything, you just, for me, I have to keep in mind that we're doing this to do the business of the school district, and all of the presentations that we ask for and also all that kind of stuff shouldn't overwhelm or diminish the votes that we take during the business part of the meeting. You know, and so I, having groups, individuals, and things, I think if it serves an important purpose, if it provides important information to the board, you know, we need to be able to try to accommodate as best we can, keeping balance between the presentations and the business of running the school district.
So. Right. I think Jermaine and I talked a little bit about, like, if they have a summary or something that they could provide ahead of time and then, like, hit highlights for a presentation so that it's not a, you know, 15 or 20 minute presentation, but, you know, hitting the highlights with
I'm sure we can all, hey, you've got, like, the part, though, I guess, with this one particular, the other issue, like, we may have actual business items of the district that, like, a transportation plan or something that we'd like to see that's added to the agenda, that that is something we can request.
Relevant,
as an individual.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so this is, I'm using PTO because that was something like, hey, we'd like to get them on the agenda. Right. And there was like, well, we can do, like, it was not a yes, or it was like summer break.
Right.
And it's like, well, my solution was, I give a safety report anyways. I can just give that time over to them. I mean, it's like, let's just get this done, and we can tell them, hey, you have 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or whatever the amount is.
Right.
Just tell them, hey, we're giving you 5 minutes to do this presentation.
Right.
I know public participation was something I could have pitched them.
Yeah.
That was a card I was going to play, but I didn't. Yeah. I wanted to try to meet their needs because they might want to present a presentation or a visual with
right.
their thing, and then we could even further say, all right, can you give a summary, a sheet or something to the board for the board to review in advance of the meeting? That's something we can do.
Yeah.
But in general, I mean, this policy, it says, uh-huh. you know, agenda items can be submitted, but doesn't necessarily require or doesn't state or speak to
how
what happens
and
after
when.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, mm-hmm. I mean, it could just be a sentence like the board, a decision, I don't know, I know the policy says the superintendent and the, in consultation with the board president, arrange the order of items, and then it also says, so I guess that the policy speaks to the agenda preparation.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to see it, like, think about this and see if you can come up with a sentence or something that might address that, or like,
I mean,
just add a little bit of something?
Is that a question that we think we should add, or are we fine with the way it goes?
Can we, if we have a single situation, can we make a decision or find a way to address that without having to change policy or
mm-hmm.
change our protocols?
Mm-hmm.
Do it within the existing protocols, because
because mm-hmm. it's not. I mean, I don't think it's not like someone shows up to a board meeting and says, "I move we add a presentation."
Right.
To the, like, that's a surprise,
right?
Right. So that's not necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never really seen
but,
that. Done.
Right.
Yeah. But I think the president, the superintendent, somebody has to say these are the items that need to go on the agenda,
sure.
and
mm-hmm.
these things, and then we can argue about whether they made the right decision or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if, as a part of a report that one of the board members wants to give, you know, I probably go on more than 5 minutes sometimes, but I try to think in terms of 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And public participation is an
There's
opportunity,
like 3 minutes for that, yeah.
Or it's 3 minutes for
mm-hmm.
that. But if you had, I don't know, if you had two people,
right? You can,
you
can yes, you can give them
maybe
up,
six
right.
minutes,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
each requesting three.
Mm-hmm.
That there are ways to probably facilitate what they want to do, and I think the key is that the presentation meets the needs of the board,
mm-hmm.
and it's, I don't want to say self-serving, but that the focus is to try to inform the board or to lobby the board for something.
And I guess I'm just kind of wondering, like, if there's a certain thing that, you know, like if you were really interested in something and not the rest, you know, then at that point, does it just make more sense to either talk to me or Diane and say, hey, can I sit down with somebody?
Well, let's just say transportation.
Yeah.
There's really no way to gauge if everyone else is interested or that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because we, like, there's no way unless we bring it to a meeting and we say, hey, I think we had a work session last year and we listed, I don't know who wrote down the list.
I did, I wrote them down, yes.
Of, like,
mm-hmm.
would you like to see
mm-hmm.
presented? Where are we at on that list? And, like, when, have those presentations been presented, or have we been briefed on those action items? And that's kind of where I'm going at is,
gotcha.
We could talk about it, like, here at a special meeting, but if it's at a regular meeting, there's no necessarily way to gauge of, hey, Jermaine wants to see something. How do I can't go out and gather support for that presentation, because that's over meetings, right? Unless it's not, but the safe side is you can't go and say, hey, would you like to see this on the agenda?
Yeah,
unless there's clarity to
I
that.
Know. Yeah, I know.
Because it's not necessarily a voting item, I guess. So
right.
Maybe,
yeah.
if maybe you can, but...
Yeah. I think you can.
Could we just
you can try
say,
to gauge interest, and I don't know. I mean, you're talking about transportation. And
I'm just using like that as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not gathering consensus. That's just surveying. I may be wrong, yeah. but I think you could, you know, make a call or a text. Are you interested in hearing a presentation about this?
Yeah. Okay.
Because that doesn't, I mean, we're not spending money, we're not changing board policy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, we're just getting information about something.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, and like I know I have that list, your name.
It
resurfaces every once in a while.
And that's something that I hadn't thought about. But if we had a work session or if we had a special meeting, we could create an opportunity for somebody to make a presentation during
a work session.
You know, they could be here this evening.
Mm-hmm.
To
have a work session for
whatever the issue is that we're looking to get more information for education.
And it wouldn't have necessarily the same time constraints.
Exactly. Right.
When we did that book review of the governance.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was one of our points of discussion with that book that maybe we should expand the number of work sessions that we're having, because the basic board meetings are business,
mm-hmm.
and recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to just hear information, that's almost kind of a work session, because we're not making any decisions. We're just hearing information or updates on specific topics.
It might impact future decisions because we gathered more information.
Yeah. They can probably, I mean, if there's pressure, like, we don't, like, the intensity of live stream meetings or whatever, like that formal
We do tape record these,
it's different than you're on camera having to give an answer to something. I'm not saying that.
I know. We don't have to tie up the tech people as well. You know, because I think that's a big lift for them to if they had to do it multiple times every month. So
Our new board meeting room will help to facilitate all sorts of things, so that'll be very nice.
Yeah,
because the policy does say like anyone can. It says a board member, a staff member, or a citizen of the district could suggest an item, but it doesn't necessarily give like a requirement for that to be. And I hear you. We don't necessarily need, but
detailed.
A timeline of when that would be presented. But I guess if there is an issue, we could just send it out to the board saying, does anyone want to speak to that? And if there is a group of people who may have interest in that, then we can, I guess, that you would have that information to make those decisions. Because I understand the power of the board president and the superintendent to make the agenda, call the meetings. Like, that's not going to change. It's just how do we...
Yeah, I mean, we want it to be inclusive. If somebody really needs more information to feel comfortable, then I like the idea of the special meeting. It's just that reality that's not always easy to come up with those dates for everybody, I'm willing to do it. I just always feel a little bit like I don't want to just assume that everybody's like, oh, sure, we can do two or three meetings a month, you know? We talked about maybe quarterly or something. So if that's the case, first quarter, here's our first work session, know? But we can just kind of maybe aim that way. And if we need to line some up in June, that could, you know, maybe if we don't have other discussion items to talk about, so we could maybe use at least one of them for some extra presentations on some subjects.
Yeah, maybe work sessions could be reviewing the board, or like not the strategic plan, but it could be parts of the strategic plan or parts of the board plan, and then a presentation that's something that is on the list of things that people want to review.
Right.
And I think quarterly would be good, because you don't need every month to have four meetings or three meetings. You know, that's not the case, but...
And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is I know we've talked about, I think you had talked about a technology update sometime, you know, and one of the other challenges, or even like transportation, the reality is that some of those departments are short-staffed, and they're working loads of hours, and so being cognizant of putting too much additional responsibility to come up with something or, you know, present, and you know, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to cause a lot of extra work, but at the same time, I mean, it is our job to oversee things. So that balance,
I
guess.
Level,
yeah.
You know, that's part of, I mean, I don't want to be too harsh here, but that's kind of part of the job from the director.
Right.
I'm not saying every meeting they need to be at the table, but I think sometime, because there is a budget, there are things that...
There's a lot of great, there's a lot of interesting things,
or just,
too.
I mean, it could be, just general information, like representing the department, like from checking out, like, what's going on, or is it a department, or what it's called.
Yeah.
I mean, the presentations we have now are basically from the schools telling us what's going on, and we haven't had, I don't remember, food service coming in and, you know, what's going on with food service or...
Right. Which would be,
you know, the athletic director, what's, you know, what's happening with the athletic part, just kind of a thing. And I think we need to, as we do that, kind of remind ourselves that we don't run the food department, we don't run the athletic department. You know, those are not things that we do. We've got a superintendent, we've got a treasurer, they're running all of those things, but you know, asking them to say, hey, can you just give us some information? Because most of the presentations I view as communicating to the community. You know, we're going to highlight at our board meeting what's going on at Northwood. We're going to highlight what's going on here. And so we have a chance to go and see some of those things firsthand. And so when the administrators come in, I see that more as a public informational period of time rather than critical information to us as board members, because most of us sit there and we've seen it, we've heard it, and we understand the value of what's going on. So,
No, go ahead. I mean, I think, like, with food service, like, that's that's something we haven't got a brief over or anything. But part of bringing them in is also an opportunity to recognize them. So, like, last year, food service was profitable. They didn't lose money. I mean, I don't know if that's normal.
That's normal. That's we have an amazing food service.
No, is it normal statewide? I'm saying
For quite a while. It's rare. It's a good opportunity.
There's a couple layers. Sure. Yes, we don't run the departments, but we obviously give tax dollars to those departments when they're run, right?
Right.
So that's
right.
Getting a picture and understanding the knowledge of what's suitable for them to run a department. Yeah. But then there's also part of leadership is to recognize and highlight and say thank you for doing that good job in some kind of way.
Right.
And so, like, food service, I mean, I don't know if we should do that. Like, you know, they've done a profitable job. That's good. That's normal business for our district. But let's highlight that and honor that person.
Some years ago, the public said we don't want to subsidize food service. And so we don't put any tax dollars into food.
Pays for itself.
You know, even operating. They buy pots and pans and they pay for their own staff.
So there's no tax dollars at all.
Yes, I think.
They're running in the green, right?
But
because they get money, get so much money per pupil for things. So
that they pay for the electric, that they use the gas. That gets billed, and so they have to operate on the incomes that they have, and somehow or another we've had the last series of food service directors have been able to do that, because there were times when the food service was losing money and the board was having to subsidize it. And the public said we don't want that to happen. So,
well, I don't know if that's a story that the public knows. I mean, maybe they do, but
But that would be why, to your point, that would be why to bring them in and find out whether Mr. Smith is right or not.
Especially given inflation with food costs right now. I know it's
My wife posted on Facebook today that dads are sources of boundless, useless information.
Okay, so from this, I would take away that we would like to consider using work sessions kind of on the more regular basis, maybe quarterly, and trying to pull in one or two presentations in some areas that either we haven't heard anything on or just want to recognize or relevant to some other things maybe happening in the future, et cetera. Okay, and I will try and find that list, but if you have,
I know we all like was like, hey, there's like, we create a list.
I'm not kidding. I see it somewhat. No, I see it somewhat regularly I'm going through various board piles of paper that I have in my room. So I'll see if I can unearth that again. And in the meantime, feel free to just, you know, text me some ideas if I can't find it and share it soon enough. Okay. Is that good for this discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next discussion item. I can get back to where I need to be here. Okay. Let's go to the consent agendas now, and we'll do the business partner recognition last. So, consent agendas. That topic came up, and I do appreciate that with some new board members. Sometimes it's like, hey, you know, just because you've always done it that way, let's have a discussion. And so I know there have been a couple of things that we did pull out from those discussions. I remember, like, with the five-year forecast, that had been a part of Todd's treasure, you know, consent agenda item. And since that is just two times a year, I think that makes sense to make that a separate item. That's a pretty big responsibility for us, and so I think that makes a lot of sense. And other kinds of resolutions for like construction projects, things like that. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not a typical every month kind of a thing.
Is there a money guideline that would be helpful there?
No, our policy, I think, says that it's routine business.
It says routine in nature and non-controversial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how do you define non-controversial?
That's the challenge sometimes with any policy or things like that, where you don't want to be specific and limit yourself too much, you know. But then you have vague words in there that
maybe we can ask Jonathan to get a suggested wording for consent agenda through OSBA and see. Then we at least have something to compare.
Right.
So I know other districts have the same similar verbiage.
Right.
But if you look up the definition of non-controversial, it means something that's generally accepted, unquestioned, right, unchallenged, unable to raise questions. And I don't know if that meets the spirit of a voting item, because every voting item to me is subject to question, is subject to challenge, right? I mean, it could be, depending on the view of the person, the individual member.
Yeah.
And that's not negative. No. A challenge isn't negative. A question is not negative.
Right.
But that verbiage there is routine in nature. Like, that makes sense. There's more like meat to routine in nature. Like, that's like quarterly, like your financials, your monthly financials. That's routine in nature.
That's
but as a policy, routine in nature, a policy update. Mm-hmm. That's not routine in nature. That's new. That's an update to your legislation, your policy.
Well, I don't take that word to mean that. You know, because when we vote on field trips or we vote on hiring for various positions, asking a question, you know, can you give us more information about the details of the trip? Have you checked into the accommodations? We had one trip where I think the baseball team was going to stay in a house.
An Airbnb.
Yeah. And I raised the question about how many bathrooms did this place have? Asking some questions and trying to get some information, because that was kind of an unusual. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of an unusual request, and was, after I got the information, very comfortable with it. But so I think you can ask questions and those kinds of things, but. I look at it as, is this something that's generating conversation in the community? Is this something that is significantly different enough that from what our past practices have been, mm-hmm. Several years ago, we had some discussions as we were looking at our what's now Impact Stadium, how that might be used for a concert or for other kinds of events, and whether or not there would be alcohol there and so forth.
That was controversial.
That was controversial. And, that clearly would... If something had ever come to the board, that should have been a separate item unto itself. I would be interested to see if there's a different wording or whether or not this is pretty typical of what... sports...
I do think OSBA is a good resource for this. I mean, I can remember this being covered in a lot of the training sessions, where they just talk about that consent agenda, and that it's really just so that you're not having to take motion and second and vote on 50 different things. I don't know how...
When you look at the definition of non-controversial...
I know.
Yeah. The Webster definition.
I know.
That's what it says. And so
I know.
What it means, I mean, that's where it, like...
Yeah.
I understand, like, the practical, like, but still, it's kind of gray. Like, how do you define what's controversial? Like, if that's a weaker argument, but I'm just looking at, like, that's the, that's how it's there. Mm-hmm. The second paragraph is a question I have, is this: when the consent agenda is presented to the board for action, the board president provides the opportunity for any member of the board or the superintendent to request a discussion or removal of any item on the agenda. Items removed are placed on the regular agenda or postponed. Remaining items on the consent agenda are then voted on by a single motion. And so how does that apply practically when an individual member is asking, I have questions about one item.
Right.
And is that if one member says something, hey, I have questions for a discussion on this item, is that administratively, or does that mean that it doesn't say there has to be a motion to amend, it says that one member.
What I'm wondering about this is to even run it past Holly or OSBA legal, because sometimes if you approve your agenda at the beginning of the meeting, that could impact that policy. So this may be a situation where we do need to revise either our policy or our practice, so that one doesn't contradict the other, I guess. You know, it's like when we approve the agenda, then if somebody wanted to move it off, then you first need a motion to amend the agenda, I think.
No, there is a policy. I have to look it up. I'm just looking at, it says provides an opportunity for any member. So when is that opportunity provided? Is it before, within the 48 hours?
That's what I would want somebody to look at this legally and say, if you do approve your agenda at the first part of your meeting, then is the way your policy worded, is it the way not accurate. You know, you can't follow, you can't do that.
Because the question I had, and it may be nitpicking, but you made a motion, and I went back and looked at that, and I was wondering, I said, okay, he had a motion, and there was no any motion would require a second in order for it to be voted on.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in order for it to be discussed.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Right. Now,
right. There that was proper. Everything there, was proper.
Yeah,
was,
and, absolutely. Yeah. And no question on that. But I think in my conversations with you or at some point, it seemed like you didn't think that you could give any rationale for your motion.
That is a debate in Robert's Rules of Order, because you typically have to put a motion on the floor. I don't know if you can speak to why until there's discussion.
Well, and that's my question.
Okay, here we'll let Bill speak, Mr. Parliamentary Procedure.
Whenever you give a motion, unless it's everybody understands the motion, mm-hmm. you know. Like I might say, I've read this policy, and you know I don't find to be any problems with the policy, and therefore I move that we accept the policy. So you could put a tremendous amount of information ahead of
the motion.
The motion.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, and as a sales pitch, you know.
Right. Right.
But as far as discuss it openly. That can't happen without a motion on the floor.
With other people.
I took the discussion as being the other members commenting on the request.
Okay. Right.
More so than you saying,
this is
I
why.
Have some issues about this, you know, da-da-da, so I move that it.
Right. In fact, when I trained students, I'd give them no credit if they didn't. Preface the motion with a sales pitch, and then I never do.
Okay.
when I'm looking at the policy, it says the tentative agenda, along with related materials, meeting minutes, is distributed to each member 48 hours prior, at least 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then the particular order can be varied, meeting to meeting, and then it's adopted or modified by majority vote members present. So I think that's where the motion, because it's not necessarily, it's not officially our agenda until we vote on it.
Correct.
So
So do you need a motion to alter or change an agenda that hasn't been adopted?
We get access to the material on the Friday before the Thursday meeting. So 6 days ahead, we're getting that. So isn't that 6 days the time when we should be recognizing that, hey, I would like to discuss this item ahead of time?
Is that true?
Well, and that's where I think the policy, where it says controversial, is, you know, if I see something in the agenda and I don't like it's buried in the general consensus,
mm-hmm.
and I call, you know, the superintendent and say, hey, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe another board member calls, well, obviously now mm-hmm. it meets that controversial point, and the superintendent should probably pull that out and put it separately on the agenda. Once we pass the agenda, this is the problem. Once we pass the agenda, it not only takes a motion to amend the agenda, but it takes a two-thirds majority of vote because you're changing that, you know.
You're changing a previous vote.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it becomes pretty complicated and very unlikely not going to pass. So, you know, it's a no-win situation. So I think if we're going to change the agenda, probably should be done, like you said, behind the scenes before the meeting, and at the last resort before we approve the agenda at the meeting.
Yeah.
I'm the one who chose not to do that. I mean, so I guess kind of learning, a learning opportunity for for me as well, but, you know.
Which you have the power to do. I mean, that's your discretion, right?
Right.
Unless something has changed, because I did make that suggestion.
Right.
I may have not made the exact question saying, hey, I would like this moved, but I said, should it be moved as its own, because it's spending money. And I had some questions too. So the first thing was, we're spending taxpayer dollars to purchase buses. Mm-hmm. So it's a resolution to purchase. Mm-hmm. So should that be its own agenda item? That was my first question. Then I also had questions about the overall plan. Mm-hmm. And so there's a two part to that. Mm-hmm. I think any resolution that's requiring a purchase should be its standalone under Board of Education items, because that's the board authorizing the request for proposals or to move forward with purchasing and this dollar amount. And to me, it makes it clear the board is, I know we passed the budget, but now we're moving forward with making down expenditure.
I guess, I mean, this is one of those things where we may agree to disagree on that, you know, because since I've been on here, it's a regular item. I mean, we are constantly replacing buses. It's kind of like replacing technology, replacing our curriculum, supplies, things like that. So it's
item.
Biannual, because I think we do it twice a year.
Well, I'm not sure on the buses. I think this one, it was a revised one. We approved one in July and then revised it, or November, whatever it was.
Because the original idea was to get two buses, and then as they were looking at the situation,
a variety of factors,
and I just had a talk with Ryan about buses. And the small buses and vans, we don't have to have CD licensed drivers for, and that gives them greater flexibility.
The vans, the small buses, we do.
Well,
okay.
But whatever. So anyway, somehow this purchase was going to provide them with some additional flexibility and still meet the needs of moving the kids around and maintaining the safety of all the buses. Mm-hmm. But that kind of unfolded since the long ago plan for two buses this year or whatever was jotted down. Mm-hmm. But going back to Nan's point, I know that I've called and said, hey, do we need to pull this item because it's a relative of mine that was volunteering. Mm-hmm. But because it's a volunteer, they're not earning anything. So the answer was no, we don't need to pull that and so forth. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the vast majority of the policies that we review are due to some state law, and it's not a controversial item at all. Mm-hmm. But there have been a couple, like just recently, this homeschool.
Right.
Policy.
Right.
Which actually kind of is the first time I really thought, you know, maybe this is something that we could have pulled out and had some more discussion on, because this is kind of a big change. Usually the policy changes are just either how things are worded or...
On the consent calendar, I think you can still have... As we do,
have plenty of discussion.
You know, extended discussions on individual items within the consent. Right. And so it's a matter of, you know, pulling things together. But, you know, on the HR items, you know, every single hire is an individual recommendation by the superintendent, and it all involves spending money.
To that point, it could be HR items. That's its own item, and it still here's all the staff that you're hiring.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean that's yes. There's multiple asks, it's one singular topic. It's one.
Well, you kind of modeled it this month, right?
Yes.
That could be. I could see. Lumping volunteers with HR, something like that. Yeah. So maybe do volunteers in HR and do superintendent other, which usually has policy things, and then that way, because I think really the biggest challenge with that consent agenda is if you feel like you can't support something, you don't want to vote no and then send a message that you didn't want to hire some people, you know, or something like that. So if you separate the HR and the volunteers from the other, maybe that's a suggestion.
Yeah, but don't you think what I was saying would work in that?
Sure.
You know, you call the superintendent.
And pull it out.
I'd like you to pull this out. You know.
Well, I still think that, like, okay, so school boards are the only government that I see that uses consent agendas for the most part. I mean, city council will have 11 items, and they'll vote each vote. You know exactly where they stand on their vote, and it could be something as putting some things on auction. It's a list of auction items, but it's still one vote. It's not city manager items. Commissioners have their own things. I mean, state house, they have their own motions on each individual. Now, your legislation gets a little tricky because you can throw a bunch of stuff to that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's probably... But when it comes to local government, it's pretty... Here. Now, if I look at my agenda, when we print the agenda off, it's many pages, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be many pages. And you still, if you just look through, you don't necessarily know it with all the votes. And so I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I am concerned with is, as we all know, public education is getting more scrutinized, right? So is it our duty to maybe see how we can step up our game as far as how we run these agendas and do our best to make sure that no one can even say, hey, one vote, they're voting on 50 items with one vote. How's that transparent? I know you have access to, you can go and dig and figure out all this stuff, but I still think that's a question that I have concerns with. If someone, no one has said anything to me, but if someone really is looking, can they say, how is one vote? You're doing buses, volunteers, personnel, policy. How is all one vote? And yes, it's legal. It's acceptable. There's no...
It's common practice, you know.
Yes, I mean, it's common practice
with school boards. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we are. But,
However, most organizations and most local governments, it's not common practice. Mm-hmm. So it's... That's what
schools
I'm saying.
Schools are unique in a lot of ways, I guess I would say. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
It's not, but so I have thoughts about policy. Policy is like that's legislative. That's our legislation. Mm-hmm. Board policy. There's two readings, and so yes, a vote does count for one reading. That's the same as the Sandlin or consent. One reading. But what I don't know is how does public have an opportunity to review policy changes and give input? It doesn't have to be a come to the board meeting and speak to this agenda item, but that's a question I have, is how do we make sure the public knows? Because if it's crammed in consent and it's just titled a three-word letter, just looking at the agenda, you don't know, this policy refers to homeschooling, or this policy refers to student code of conduct, or whatever. So how do we solicit feedback from our the people we serve?
Why are we soliciting feedback on policies from the public?
Because we serve the public.
Right. Well, they've elected us to serve them. Our job is to create the policy.
That's true.
You know, and I look at like the Reingarten or the family that came to the board meeting. I mean, they came to a community coffee a year or so ago, and they brought up this topic, and really that's been in process since that happened. And so to me, that was a great example of how the public can come in and they can impact the kinds of policies that we have, and that actually happened before with, I think, extracurriculars.
I'm talking about the community at large saying,
if they have issues, then they, I think they know how to
speak to it or weigh into it.
Yeah, but this isn't the state house. Yeah. Okay, so I'm concerned about political posturing, not necessarily Republican or Democrat, but political posturing and then inviting controversy into a completely non-controversial
I don't think people's opinions are controversial.
Well,
I don't think people's, if they participate, is controversial per se.
Yeah.
Like any of the policies, I don't necessarily think we represent them. It's their policy.
It's our policy.
Yeah.
It's the board's policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's our policy.
And we represent the people.
We do represent the people. They elected us to represent them.
But while we represent them, it's us. It's our policy. And 95% of all the policies we have, we don't have any choice on.
Right.
Because state law and federal law dictates to us what our policy is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have minimal opportunity to reword or apply, and in most cases, we don't have the option of not altering our policies. Because if we don't enact a state-mandated policy or a federal policy, now we can be sued.
It's not about enact. I mean, you can always add to any federal regulations. You can add to, for instance, expulsions. If you can't expel a student between K through 3 without their school psychologist doing an evaluation, well, we could add to that policy and say we can't expel a student without a school psychologist doing an evaluation for all.
We would not put that into policy. We would put that into our administrative rules, that because our board policies are set at state and federal minimum requirements, anything that we do in addition is under our local administrative rules.
Like handbook kind of stuff versus
policy.
Policy because the board can.
Well, it could.
You want to be careful about putting more than you need to in policies.
Right.
It's just kind of best practice. You don't want it, you want to try and keep it at the minimum if possible.
Right. You don't want to create opportunities to be sued, to be held liable for not following your policy. So if you have multiple steps that you put into your policy and you don't follow each and every one, expulsions have very strict timelines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you throw another timeline in there and happen to miss it for some reason, that could be problematic. So you adopt a policy that meets all state and federal rules. You then can have any administrative policies, administrative rules that you want, and put them in our administrative handbooks. So we can say, we've met all of these, and we've also done these things before we took the action, but these other actions aren't legally required of us. And so if we were to happen to not do them within a certain timeline or to do them in a particular order, we wouldn't be legally liable, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but I disagree with the notion that the board cannot create its own policy, that we only can adopt with federal and state.
No, we can. I'm not saying that at all.
We still have legal counsel that will review it.
Sure.
We still have the policy committee that reviews it.
And we do. I mean, a lot of times our policies are not exactly verbatim.
Those things all take place.
And so if the board says you would like this to be included,
absolutely.
There's infrastructure in place to make sure that everything is fine.
Yes.
Right. But our legal counsel has typically told us, don't create a lot of other stuff that's going to create additional liabilities for you.
Mm-hmm.
Adopt this, and then your practice can go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't create a legal...
Because policy says you're going to do it this way every stinking time. And
the board,
there's no way that you can write a policy that covers every single incident, especially in a school system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you have an administrative policy per se, and they follow it that way. You know, and it may be different for one student versus another student because it's more appropriate for one student than another student. But the bare minimum is we have to follow the state or our voted on policies. So if we make those more stringent on ourselves, that just makes everybody's life a lot more complicated.
We still have the ability to.
Yes.
We can't do
right.
that. We shouldn't.
Right.
Do
but
it's,
right.
Or
yeah.
we shall
You're
not
right.
do it. It's and a I board. Guess, any board could say, "Hey, mm-hmm. we think we can add to a federal or state regulation mm-hmm. because of X, Y, and Z, and we think this is the way our district should
right.
should run." I mean, that's
right.
that it. Or if public brings something up. Because we haven't noticed, hey, we're changing policy. We have information that is sent to us saying, mm-hmm. hey, have you considered this, this, and that? I don't think that's bad. I think that just gives the public an opportunity to, this is under review. It's like just like your Department of Education has rules that are published and people can comment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very similar approach to having a time to comment.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is, I mean, the Department of Education does some of those things. They don't send me a letter saying, hey, what do you think about this?
They
I mean, it's out there,
notice,
you know.
And it's sent to, if you sign up, you get the notice. And mm-hmm. the State Board of Education presents
right.
them, and you can actually
right.
speak to a lot of the policies that the State Board of Education does.
Mm-hmm.
People actually go and speak up to
right.
those policy changes.
Right.
There's a public participation
yep.
at the state level
I'm
in the
aware,
Board of Education.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think there should be at the
right.
local.
Well, and we
the
have,
that's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
And Jermaine, we have the option, if we have policies that come up,
mm-hmm.
like the one on homeschooling,
mm-hmm.
we had the option to hold a public hearing on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that would prevent us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jonathan went and talked with homeschool families, communicated with homeschool families, got their viewpoint, and then he talked to our administrators. Okay, if we get more students that are coming to school,
mm-hmm.
what courses can we offer?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of issues and problems do we have?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of, you know, the impact on the school was vetted by the people that we've hired to do that. And if it was an issue, you know,
I'm not looking at singular issues. I'm just
yeah.
looking at the overall.
But I'm saying the option for us to say we have a policy coming up. We need to have a public hearing and hear from the public on this. But as a board, our job is to run the school district for the community.
Yes.
And we listen, but we have to make our own decisions.
I'm not saying we
yeah.
have the decision.
And I understand that.
I'm saying
yeah.
but there's
an opportunity. And that goes back to the, I'm going to interrupt you. It goes back to the opportunity of like how we structure our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, is there any public comment for any policies that are being reviewed?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's probably not going to be, right? So, but you have you create a process that's accessible, transparent,
mm-hmm.
and people can speak to those policies because it impacts families and students and teachers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
so that's where I'm coming
yeah.
from. Not mm-hmm. necessarily cherry picking.
Sure.
Right.
Topics. Yeah.
But
right.
as I'm looking at this, if 90-95% of everything is a matter of state law,
mm-hmm.
and we say the public has an opportunity to come in
mm-hmm.
and speak to this, it's not going to make a bit of difference
mm-hmm.
In terms of whether we adopt the policy. And the public participation on that particular issue was really directed to the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That you mm-hmm. know, lobbyists and individuals had an opportunity to testify in the legislative process. The law was adopted, and now that is being, in essence, imposed
mm-hmm.
upon all the school districts in the state of Ohio. And so the fact that we have community members that disagree with it
mm-hmm.
or you know, think it's absolutely wonderful, isn't really going to change anything in what this board is going to ultimately end up doing.
But a member could present some information that will say, we didn't consider that, and we further study and add to what the minimum requirements are. That's where I'm coming from, is that it's not, yes, you have state and federal that produce most of our policy, and it's, like, strict, but then we give the opportunity for public to read,
mm-hmm.
to know what the change is locally, And then if there is a need for someone to say, you know what, this, I've been in a situation and it didn't work out or whatever, here's something to add to, there's no way for us, for the community, right now, there's no way for them, unless they review our like Hawks, and I don't even know if our journalists here go that far into detail. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
I know. I don't know who, well, I mean, if somebody wants to, if somebody is that into it, then the information is there for
them. It's digged in a consent agenda, and it's three letters. And it's like, well, what are you voting on? You
know, well, all of, I mean,
I'm voting on
you can look. Well,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
you can look there.
Yes,
and you can go to,
dig,
and our agenda is in board docs. All of our policies are in board docs.
Mm-hmm.
So they can look at those three numbers, go to board docs, pull up the exact language. It's available.
Well, actually, they can pull it up and see what's been adjusted, mm-hmm. like in
mm-hmm.
board docs in the public
yeah.
part there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you have like how would it be easier to find? I mean, I guess I'm just trying to. I'm not sure.
If you look at your city council, your commissioners, it's one doc,
yeah.
and it's you know,
yeah.
here's the agenda items, right? And it's all there. You can say, oh, they're voting on this, or they're voting on that.
Right.
Then you go in the meeting packet and get more information. I don't know if we can change that. The way our board docs
board
are set up.
No. I mean,
no.
But if it's policy, then you can have like a summary or like something that shows the summary of what policies are being reviewed. Because right now, if you look at it, yes, you can go in. I hear what you're saying because you're just going to have to dig through it. But being in consent is just makes it more challenging. If it's its own thing, they can just then, oh, here's board policies. Click. What board policies are being reviewed and updated? And if we wanted to add an option where we sent something out, policy is under review by a board of education, and then it's just a virtual people type review it, and if they have anything, they type their comment and they send it to the administration. And then that way they have that time to have those appropriate conversations.
Yeah. And you and I have talked, and I think the city deals with different kinds of issues, and even if they're voting on just getting rid of stuff, they have different rules and regulations that they have to follow. And so I think their agenda and their practices reflect that. Everything on our agenda, all the policy, all the hires, retirements, everything comes as a recommendation from the superintendent. And so what we're voting on is either to accept or reject what the superintendent has recommended or the treasurer with the financial issues has recommended. And I've just kind of run this through as we were sitting here talking. The superintendent's responsibility is to vet. And so, I think. And so, we as a board could have a public hearing on a policy if we wanted to. I think the superintendent also could have a public comment on policies. And I know that when we've done things like controversial issues, which is the boundaries of the school districts,
mm-hmm.
you know, the elementary schools, and most of those things, our superintendent has public committees that study those things and make a recommendation or submit comments to help direct the decision that she's going to bring to us as a recommendation. And I understand what you're saying, and certainly I think we could do that, but I don't know that. I guess I'm not getting to the point where I feel like that's something that we really need to emphasize in order to be able to do our job.
I do have a thought.
Okay.
So, because I understand. I mean, like, when you talk about what is our job, it's to hire the superintendent and treasurer and to create board policy. So what about an idea of, instead of having policies under other superintendent action items, that we just have that becomes part of a Board of Education item, to have first and second read of policies, you know? Mm-hmm. So whenever we've got those, we just make that a Board of Education item.
Okay.
And that way, it's a little bit, you know, it could, so instead of it just saying in board docs, instead of it saying BOE, you know, superintendent other items under Board of Education, it could be policy first read, policy second read, something like that.
That's
and then
perfect.
It's a little bit more transparent.
Sure.
And it becomes more clear that that is one of our major roles.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of naming the policy.
Like right now, if you click on superintendent other items, it'll say board policy first read, JECBC, admission of students from non-chartered or homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they can put all of that
in the... Could you just put the title, like the...
Like the descriptor of it.
The descriptor, yeah.
With the JECB, we can ask. We can ask. I'm not sure how flexible Board Docs is with some of those things. But at the very least, you know, if they would click on that, it would get the list with the number, with the letters and the description of the policy. Something like that.
That's great. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
With policy, I have a question for...
Sure.
So when policy is initiated, it goes to the committee, the policy committee, correct? What happens, like, how does it get on the agenda? So, like, is there a quarterly committee, or what's the...
It... Jonathan and Tim Canale head up the policy review for the district, and... Ryan Walker, anything that has to do with buses, food service, any of those things, he's on there.
Some other administrators aren't
there. Yeah, other administrators and so forth.
Yeah.
All right. So what typically happens is OSBA sends out, here are policy changes because of changes in legislation. And so each policy is given to the administrator or the director that supervises that area of our school district. And they review the new suggested policy with the old policy, try to, from their experience, what's going on in that department, they see, you know, does this make sense? Is there, you know, do they see some problems and they see some issues? So once everybody, you know, and Jonathan takes some things and Tim takes some things that fall kind of outside areas or maybe more involved, and they research and they do all that kind of stuff, and then they come to the policy committee with a recommendation to the committee that they've looked at it, they've read it, maybe it's just a name change, maybe it's, you know, a state requires this or that, and this is the recommended language. But then they say they'll make a recommendation, adopt as recommended by OSBA, which is the most typical situation. And then Jonathan will then transmit that, you know, these are the, he'll write it all up and send that to Diane, and then she puts it on the agenda for us to deal with. There is probably, I can't remember a single policy where somebody says, hey, we need to create our own policy on this. We've got hundreds of policies, and so I don't ever remember that happening. We have looked, like the policy on homeschool was capacity. What is our capacity? And the capacity in the elementaries was not there, and that was not a high priority for homeschool families. And so at the Bunsold, the interest of homeschool families was really in arts, music, particularly language, that kind of thing. And so that was, there was not a capacity area in those areas, but in core subject areas, that was going to be more difficult. And then at the high school, circumstances were different, you know, in terms of what. So then there was discussion with each of the building's principals about that. If the principal felt that they need teacher input, then they went to the teachers and said, hey, you know, this is what we know and so forth. So whatever input, whatever discussion, whatever level of review, you know, was going to take place. And so then that information was sent, and OSBA's policy person put together the legal language to accomplish what we wanted. So I guess that is one where we actually created a policy for our situation, but I was told that Dublin, Fairbanks, other schools in our area have similar policies and that were already in place, and we were kind of behind in this particular area. And so I know that the language of our policy reflects probably a lot of what is being done someplace else. Mm-hmm. But
if under Board of Education, I am, since like you're the board representative, would you ever send, if there's something like homeschooling, I mean, it was on our agenda, mm-hmm. but would there ever be a time where you would get like a start, hey, we met, and like this is just like things that you're going to see on the agenda, like, or I know we have the administration can say, here's what's on your agenda, but is that something that you would do in that way?
Well, I mean,
hey, we just got, here's the process of how this is on our agenda tonight.
Well,
I kind of go back to when they came to the community coffee. Mm-hmm. At that point, I think there was some talk about, hey, this is something that's going to be worked on over the, you know, over the next a certain time frame, and we knew that was kind of during COVID, I think, when some of those questions came up. And so there was some, you know, like when we were having a hybrid, we didn't want to be throwing in, bringing in additional kids and stuff. There was a comment made, but then I know, like, I double-checked with the family a couple times and just said, hey, just want to let you know that I've talked to Jonathan and, you know, we're getting updates and I know that there are plans at this point or something. And so maybe just being more, you know, like maybe a update to everybody saying that, just want you to know that this is something that's being worked on.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, because like as it yeah. right now, as it stands,
yeah.
you three will know what upcoming policies are coming on the agenda because it's coming.
Well,
either like if you go, I wouldn't know until know until our agenda meeting.
Yeah,
so that's three. Yes. That's what I'm saying. But
right. Yes.
And there's three. I know the agenda gets published quickly.
This isn't right.
Yes.
This is
usually like a day or
two
after our agenda meeting.
The committee that meets is not a board committee.
I know
it's not ours.
Yeah.
And so just asking Diane if she would have Jonathan send out, you know, that these are the topics we're looking at or something. He's got that, but I mean, the meetings tend to be kind of haphazard. They're not regularly scheduled because
they're as needed.
They're as needed and kind of as the legislature, you know, acts on things, or if there's a lawsuit someplace, you know, a new court ruling that comes in and they say, well, based on this court ruling, we need you to update your policy to do this kind of thing.
So. Are you aware in board docs, if you click on the policies, see there's a drop down there that says OSBA PDQ updates?
Yeah.
Have you ever clicked on that?
I have.
Okay, that will tell you exactly what they're going to be discussing.
That's what triggers Jonathan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Right. So you can see
them. We get this in the email too. They
yes, email. They'll send the email right. saying check your if you right. you know subscribe so with us, check board docs.
That's good because mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that. But that's it's
so under policies the drop down.
It's the PDQ. Yeah.
And it'll say PD no like over here.
Okay.
There. From this policy, like I clicked on policies here, and instead of active, I went to OSBA PDQ updates.
Okay.
All right.
Right. If you're just in the.
Yeah.
Yes. So that, I mean, that's pretty nice.
That because would,
I,
yeah.
some, when they used to send the email that had everything listed in there, I would print those off, and I would kind of keep them handy, and it'd say, okay, when we've got a first read, yep. We hit all of them
okay.
if they apply, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes they're even, you need to get rid of a policy too.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a variety of things in there.
Yeah. So
that's a good resource.
If a board member had a question about mm-hmm. a policy, do we go to the board liaison to the policy committee?
No, you contact Jonathan.
Well, or I would, Diane. Yeah, I would contact okay. Diane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
And she may say, give Jonathan a call.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of times I'll say, hey, mind if I touch base with Jonathan on this? And she'll say, go for
okay.
it. So, yep. Okay.
What about resolutions? Like, sometimes resolutions are under the other items, like OSA.
Oh, OHSAA. Okay. I mean, that's another, it's every year.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't sign up with them, we're telling our kids won't be able to be in tournaments or things like that. I mean, no, to me, that's like a non-controversial
item. It's a resolution. That's what I'm saying. It's a resolution that's adopted by the board. That's where I'm coming from. It's just, is that its own Board of Education items? Mm-hmm. I mean, either way, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I understand what you're saying, but discussing that is very low because it's going to happen, but
right. And what about like facility rentals or things like that? Would you consider those to be a similar type thing?
I think facility rentals are its own. Like, yeah, it's under superintendent items, but I think it's nice to have it as titled facility agreements and whatever's there. I don't really know. I mean, that doesn't necessarily need to be. It could be a consent item. I'm just trying to make sure, like, policy is a big thing. That's a big role.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Spending taxpayer dollars via like RFQ resolution to do this should be under Board of Education items. It's listed there.
I think if they're unusual, I mean, to me, again, like going back to the bus thing, I don't have any problem with having buses in the consent agenda because it is a annual kind of a thing.
But
you know?
The board doesn't have to take action. I mean, it's a recommendation to spend taxpayer dollars to purchase buses, right? That's kind of where I'm coming from. It's not an automatic regular, like, we have to accept financials. I mean, unless there's some glaring mistake, we have to accept financial reports. We have the option to purchase buses in each year.
Yeah, you could say that, but if you don't purchase, I mean, if you don't replace your buses, what's going to happen? You know, if you want to push it that far, it is. But I think common sense to me, it's like, I guess I just struggle with why it would be a challenging. Or a question of why you would replace a bus if it's old and needs to be replaced for safety reasons, you know? But I don't know.
That's the merit of the argument. That's the merit of why you vote. That's not necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I think if you have, say, the bus department chair or whoever you want to, whatever title you want to give them, and they make a recommendation to you, that they've done their due diligence on that recommendation. And then you say, well, sorry, we're not going to do it this year, you know, because we don't have enough money. That might be a possibility, but if it's something that you pretty much did it every year for the last 5 years, you know, and now suddenly you don't want to do it because there's, you know, a levy campaign or whatever, you're really putting that person under the gun. I mean, no pun intended, you're driving the bus over. And if you do that multiple times, you're going to be hiring a new bus coordinator, you know. And same way with the superintendent. The superintendent gives you, you know, X number of items that they believe is sound, you know, and you drag this one and this one and this one out, you know, pretty soon you're looking for a new superintendent. You know, you delegate these things to committees and to people.
Experts
in that mm-hmm. field, or they become experts in that field. And then you have to listen to them. And I think if you don't, there's school districts all across the state that are just so screwed up because they did that. They micromanaged the decisions of the superintendent. And, you know, and a lot of them, like, especially big purchases like school buses, they say, well, we can't afford it this year because we're going for a school levy. We'll put that off till next year. Well, the truth is, next year we need $400,000, and that's not going to fit in this budget either. Mm-hmm. And so we're put it off again, mm-hmm. you know. And suddenly, I was in this district when that was a problem. Yes. Buses got the last consideration, and so you know, I remember one year out at the bus garage, they drove a bus in, and the bus spring broke as it came in the garage, as a state highway patrolman is about to make the inspection, you know. Mm-hmm. That sucker's off the road now for a long time. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is you can really mess up your budget just like in your own family, you know, if you don't have pigeonholes.
Regular maintenance schedules.
For maintenance, you know, so I'm not fixing the roof this year, doggone it. We just don't have the money for it. You know, pretty soon you're running out of floor space for pants, you know, and I
hear there's some good comments as far as why to vote on an item, right? But I'm sorry, like, what's the dollar amount that we see? So is it $500,000? Is that?
Oh, like, I see what you're saying. Like, and maybe he's got a point there. Maybe there ought to be a dollar amount.
Where it's a resolution for a reason. It wasn't a budget item. Mm-hmm. It's not a doc saying we're going to spend X amount of dollars.
I mean,
it is
part of the permanent improvement forecast.
Right.
It is. They have that permanent improvement.
In a resolution for?
Well, it could be. I don't know. The treasurer is authorized to make purchases up to $50,000 or mm-hmm. $75,000 mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. like that. So a bus at $120,000 mm-hmm. would take. It would become a separate item. But to you know.
And I don't. Do you know why it's in a resolution format? I mean, is that a legal
because
thing?
If
we're requesting bids,
and the only and I don't know this, but it just
matter, yeah.
if you're making a purchase above a certain amount, then the proper format for that purchase might be a resolution. Now, the resolution. I think there's different types of resolutions because the resolutions for remodeling that we did were big ticket items, potentially controversial items, and were voted on as separate items. Buying a school bus, to me, is not a controversial item. It, by law, might have to be on the agenda as a resolution, but if it's coming out of you know, if the funds are in permanent improvements, and this is from the information we got, you know, it was a recommendation based on a whole bunch of other factors that made sense to do the purchase that was recommended.
But what's the trigger? And
for me,
does it become its independent agenda item? I'm using it based off of a resolution that the Board of Education is authorizing us to put out bids and therefore it should be its own standalone item. That way it's clear, people know this is the budget, here's the ask our.
Yeah, and I understand that. Within the consent agenda, it's still identified as a separate single purpose purchase school bus.
Right. But we're voting on it as one big ticket. One big ticket item. Right. And so you can't say I'm voting on everything except that.
And I like, just because I think we've gotten to the point where we're talking about whether this needs to be this place in our agenda or this place in the agenda. And I'm comfortable with the flexibility that resolutions that are regular bus purchase type things. Because I think we've had some resolutions also to replace an air conditioner or to do some other
boilers.
Kind of maintenance things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with the flexibility to put them, you know, one place or the other in the agenda, because I think it still shows up as a single item, and whether it shows up at this point in the agenda or this point in the agenda, it's going to show up exactly in the same way. And I don't think, I just feel comfortable with that flexibility, knowing that if we get a large ticket item, something in which we need to spend a lot of discussion, like remodeling or building a new building or doing an athletic facility, those kinds of things, that those are going to be, you know, separate items discussed, because we're going outside in many cases the normal framework of regular day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year kinds of maintenance items.
I think one of the problems is that if the school's spending money over $50,000, they have to bid that.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have to bid that, mm-hmm. if you don't have a resolution, not that you couldn't do that without a resolution, but it's hard to get an automotive or a bus company to go ahead and submit you a bid,
right.
unless they know darn sure that the
board has approved.
Spend that money, you know, they're just not going to give you a real bid on that, so that requires us to go ahead and get that resolution, and so I think the $50,000 was put in there early in my career, so that would be, you know, probably 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and $50,000 today doesn't buy you a pickup truck,
right.
you know, so I guess unfortunately, that's the trigger amount that the state has set,
mm-hmm.
that where
yeah.
you have to, and the only exceptions to that, I think, is emergencies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's
what declares an emergency, I don't know.
My stand is its own item, because it's very clear, and that's my stance. I hear everyone, and I'm thankful to voice my own.
And I understand that, and I don't disagree with it necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have that for our consent agenda. We are going to consider looking at our policy versus approving our agenda at the beginning of our meeting, and just and reviewing that, you know, to make sure that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe look at a few other districts. Maybe talk to OSBA,
mm-hmm.
get some input from them. We've agreed that we're going to move policy approvals to Board of Education items, and see how much detail can be put in the description.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm feeling one person feels very strongly about any resolution kind of being its own standalone item. I feel like the rest of us are a little bit more, especially like with buses, using those as an example. I think we all feel comfortable keeping them in there. I don't know. I mean, it's not a big deal to move them out. But I don't know the value. Explain to me why you want it.
Because I'm just not making that connection, why you feel it's important.
Well, it's a resolution to request and authorize the district, like for transportation, mm-hmm. to purchase something. Well, it's the board's, I want like explicit transparency. The board's authorizing this transaction or bid to expend this amount of funds.
Mm-hmm.
It's its own item.
Mm-hmm.
One can say it's regular, but mm-hmm. purchasing buses or purchasing any other kind of asset that requires a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, should be a standalone vote, because it's that way people know you can debate it on the merits of why you should expend those funds, mm-hmm. or not, and it's debated on its own ask, its own resolution. Or
I mean, how does that differ from an HR though? Too like if we have let's say we have a new position, you know, like let's say we've had more students or we need another psychiatrist or psychologist or something like that. We're expending, you know, we're approving a contract that's going to, you know, put us in an obligation to expend taxpayer dollars.
With the personnel, I'm not quite savvy on that yet. But I am. I like to think I'm savvy. If we're purchasing buses or whatever, that's something requiring a purchase to go and bid for purchasing something, mm-hmm. and if that's its own standard resolution. Right now, it's under other superintendent items.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then you have volunteers, you have field trips, you have all kinds of other stuff. And to me, I mean, even before, you know, treasurer's items was 5-year forecast, so that's like a pretty big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made improvements in that, but anything that's of significance, like I think buying buses are significant. I don't, I understand that it's an agreement, it's a singular vote. Pulling it out would say the board's committing to following this plan, whatever plan that was approved by previous boards. We're still following it, and the board is debating that merits of that question. Other superintendent items like field trips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have any debate on field trips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I mean, unless there's something I have to question, but I'm not going to debate at a board meeting whether or not the cheerleading team should go to Orlando or whatever. I'm not debating that.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear what you're saying, but I think we've covered it where if we need to, like, superintendent items. HR items, I think we've committed to, like, that could be its own
HR sub. volunteer combined.
Mm-hmm. Combined could be its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do have questions about how that document's coming up, because I have questions and just I need more time to understand that aspect, because that's a big budget, operating budget is all staff. And so I don't necessarily think we need to pull it out and have it separate, but I feel like we need more information to understand the context of how it impacts the budget, the operating budget. But that's a different conversation from agenda format.
Yeah.
Facility agreements. I mean, that's really under the administration. I'm not really going to debate if we should, you know, rent a space out to whatever organization. Mm-hmm. But I could debate how many buses we're buying, or how many, if we're doing a project, we could reasonably debate that.
I mean, to me, though, it goes back to your comments. I mean, like, I don't see the change in students. I don't see people moving and routes being changed and more special needs kids or, you know, all of those kinds of details that go into knowing what we need when, as well as maintenance records and, you know, oh, this bus was in an accident. I mean, all of those kinds of things, I don't have a clue what's going on, and I shouldn't. I mean, that's not my job. That's what our bus director and I think Ryan oversees her, doesn't mm-hmm. he? Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what they do.
And that's a personal conviction that you hold, right? That's a personal conviction that's fact.
Yeah. That's fact.
Well,
that is their job. That's their job.
And
to
it's my job as a board member, this is my conviction, to evaluate recommendations and to say, yes, we should spend taxpayers' dollars or we should modify. It's not a yes or no. It could be a modify. It could be quiet questions. Ultimately, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's going to be yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a merit. There's going to be judging the question, the recommendation based on the merits and facts presented. And if you're spending taxpayer dollars, it's not automatically. Administration says we should do this. We should do it. I mean, we would just get rid of city council. We'd get rid of school boards. We'd get because we just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we had an amazing list of answers from questions that to me was pretty
question.
Yeah. Okay.
What kind of concern or problems would it be to pull just resolutions out separate on the board docs and vote on them separately?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we can do that.
But you and I've had several discussions on this. When you hire someone, to make a recommendation to us about buses. Mm-hmm. And they study the problem and they figure it out, and it fits. They know that it fits the budget because we've set aside money, because we can, you know, we know that buses are going to have to be replaced at various times, and there's maintenance. And the mechanics know when the cost of maintenance begins to outweigh the value of the bus that they're working on, and the bus coordinator knows the number of buses and so forth. And so, from my standpoint, the necessity of what to do with buses is something that we've hired others to consider. And so they come and they say, we've looked at everything concerning the buses, and this is what we recommend to the board, that you authorize these purchases. They're within the budget. The treasurer has to sign off on it and say, yes, there's money to do that, and so forth. And then as a board member, I don't have any knowledge. I can say, well, this just seems like a lot. But I don't have any facts for, you know, to challenge the decision. And it's not my role. It's the superintendent's role to evaluate the facts that back this thing up, because it's ultimately the superintendent that is bringing this forward, saying the people that work for me that have done all this work, this is what they're telling me. I agree with them. This is what we need to do. And so if this board were to get into a situation where we're sitting there and we're debating whether or not we like or dislike a particular recommendation without some sort of fundamental issue, if it exceeds the budget, if it is, you know, the purchase of buses is going to adversely affect the academics of our school district, those kinds of things, then that's where I see us having questions. I see my role as looking at the recommendations and seeing, do they seem to fit our goals and objectives? Do they seem to fit the prior decisions that we made? And if so, then we move forward. Mm-hmm. But all that said, you know, I said I'm comfortable with resolutions being grouped in with other things. If we want to pull them someplace else, I don't have any objection to that.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any objection to it. I just think that there's a potential of signaling distrust for the people doing their jobs. And I just, this morning at the business impact breakfast, they were discussing one of the biggest impacts to workforce retention is culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, and when you start, I know if you're just asking questions, but in asking questions, whatever the manner, you start signaling, I distrust you, or I don't think you know what you're doing, then people go to other places. And it's difficult to get good people in public education.
Right now.
Right now, it's really difficult. Teachers are fleeing the workforce like crazy.
Administrators,
superintendents.
Well, last year, 20% of the superintendents in the state quit.
Yeah.
And just that's like if you were a transportation director, you're dealing with bus driver shortages and.
So I don't have philosophically. I don't have an objection, but what I'm afraid of is that this signaling effect. that is going to move forward. Because I know that people in public education as a whole are more
sensitive.
Sensitive. They are more sensitive. They feel like they're being attacked on a consistent basis. Whether you work in the cafeteria, or whether you're a bus driver, or whether, you know, you're the school secretary, you're a teacher in the classroom, you're an aide. As a group, they all feel like they're under attack. And I'm just nervous about this signaling of questioning, you don't know what you're doing. You know, so
I strongly object to any questioning a board member has is a signal of you don't know what you're doing. And I try to communicate this. Any questions I have is from a duty of care. A duty of care to be responsible for my vote and taking ownership of my vote, not giving my ownership to another person and saying, well, they said it was the best thing to do. But taking and educating myself and asking questions and getting education from the answers, and then taking ownership and saying, these were presented, I asked questions that were trying to get the full scope of everything, that I need to know why it's appropriate. And to be quite honest, with the transportation, it was a change in strategy. And so I asked questions, because it was a change of strategy within less than a year. So, I mean, I felt like a duty of care in being responsible for Jermaine's vote. Not necessarily, maybe it's a generational thing, maybe it's a cultural thing, but that's how I view my role, is to be doing the public, that's how I serve the public, is saying, things were presented to me, I applied critical thinking, I asked questions, I learned, and I made my independent decision.
Right.
And that's how I view myself, not, I'm listening, and it's hard to rationalize the, but I understand, I can see where that could be the byproduct of what I believe is my duty.
Well,
it could be unintended consequences.
Yeah. Right. Here's an example, and it took me a little while to understand this. Just for example, when we go in and tour the schools, I was really surprised at how uptight that made people in the school. They've been briefed that we were coming. We're just there to, you know, observe classrooms, thank teachers, whatever. But there was a noticeable nervousness that we're there to catch them doing something wrong, or we're there to, criticize them. And I don't know where that comes from, to be honest. You know, I'm not going in and firing anyone.
Right.
But there is that feeling.
Attention,
so I just think it's something that you don't know until you kind of go through it a few times. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys were there. I mean, so.
It takes till the end of your career, in my opinion, to welcome a board member into your classroom.
Yeah. I mean, I think you felt, did you feel comfortable when I came in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
okay.
I was at the end of my career,
right,
too.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And you know, even when, you know, we're talking about bringing people in to the board meetings and recognizing them and thanking them,
right,
you know, that's the last thing I want as a teacher, is to be called by the board to come in and say something. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the administrators feel that way, but that's part of their job, you know. To do that, but you know, yeah, you're getting an award, but what if you can't make it that night? You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember we made a big deal because we always had those the state recognitions, and that was the first week after school was out, and everybody's gone,
right.
and here I am, the advisor, and I'm about to show up with no students to get recognized when there's 20 of them that are supposed to be there, and so that's just an additional hassle. You know, for me. So what you're saying is very, very correct. That's why I have a reservation about sticking my head in the classrooms, because, yes, we want to show support and all that for the classroom, but sometimes just looking through the window and smiling and waving,
it's good enough.
Did that, you know, mm-hmm. where we go in there and we interrupt that class. Now I'm going to speak from the high school end of it. Mm-hmm. That class period's over. The minute that door opened, mm-hmm. that class period and whatever objectives that teacher had for that day are mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't matter who opened the door, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. So, but anyway.
Like when you were talking about the transportation thing and how, you know, it's your responsibility to get information and everything. So my question is, when you did ask those questions and you got like some answers even before the board meeting, did you get that? I mean, did you feel like you were getting answers to your questions?
After the board meeting, I got the
Okay. Because there was like as far as the change, the reason for the change, those answers came before the board meeting.
But then I asked, like, kind of, yes. Mm-hmm. They said that was the best recommendation they had because of, you know.
Variety. They gave like two or three different reasons why.
But those reasons were not, that was the state of transportation before in July when we voted on it. That driver shortage is not new. I mean, it was, those were the reasons.
I looked at them, I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. I don't know. I didn't think that they were just reasons from back in July. I thought it was reason three. So anyway, I don't know. I guess that was just my question. That was my question.
CDI drivers.
But it hadn't gotten. But I think there was hope that things would get improved. And if they haven't, then you know maybe that's.
So like looking at the roster of the fleet, we have a lot. I mean. I think everyone should. We really should get a good understanding of like what's the
go back to some of those books that we've read though about
because we spend taxpayer dollars and we plan using budgets.
I've read too many books about not micromanaging. You're in the helicopter.
Yes,
you're not on the ground. You are not on the ground.
No offense, but I read your questions. You know.
Yeah.
For the most part, I felt like if I were the bus driver coordinator, I'd be very unhappy because you're really deep
getting
down
the weeds.
Low-level questions that I got to pull out answers for, you know. And like, for instance, you know, what's your future policy on zero-emission buses? You know, well, I can answer that for you because every diesel-powered school bus has to have zero emissions next year, okay? And I've been around tractors that have zero emissions. You could run them in this room, you know, and there would be no exhaust fumes in this room. There wouldn't be any oxygen in here to breathe, but, you know, there would be no emissions. But that question is a question for the state department, and it's a question for the bus drivers, coordinators, and to make decisions. You know, as to maybe those buses are available, but maybe we can't afford them. Maybe we can't afford to operate them. You know, I felt that was a question that was, I don't know, micromanagement. And I'm just picking one, you know. There was a whole bunch of them. All of them, as we went down through the list, I thought, ma'am, I've been out for 4 years and I can answer those questions for you, you know, but I shouldn't have to. You know, the bus driver coordinator should be able to just say, we need another bus, you know, and it's in the budget.
And like, the question we can ask, like, how are you coming up with that decision? You know, I mean,
right, you
I mean,
do that.
Ask some questions like that, but the details behind it.
This is what happened. I asked that question. How did they come up with recommendations? I was told by Todd, well, their maintenance team just tells us what they need. And I'm like, well, how do they evaluate? Like, what's the process of that? And then how's it going up the chain? Like, how are you vetting that, those recommendations? Like, because I want to know that it's not just tell us what you want and we're going to do it for you. Like, we need to verify.
Is a process. There has been a process, yeah. And I think, I mean, I think.
I was trying to get that, and I was told I'll be insulting if I asked them, what's your process?
Well, no.
That's what I was told. That's what I was told.
The thing is that...
I mean, that's you can take my word for that. There, you were on the phone, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's perfect time. I feel that generally those were all good questions, but I could answer almost all those questions from when we went and visited and talked with the transportation director when we did our school tour.
So what's the difference between me asking those questions when there's money being allocated to purchase things and doing an in-person visit?
We didn't go in there and ask a lot of those questions. We were just, you know, going to visit, and we heard them talking about, hey, you know, things are great in here. Like Bill said, when I first was on the board, our bus fleet was not in good shape at all. And so as I visited, you know, I would constantly, we're almost there. We're almost to our goal of having that average age be at 10 or whatever, 10 or 12, whatever the, you know, best practice is or something. And so they were excited about it. And like the maintenance people, you go in and you talk to them, hey, how are things going? They're like, oh man, you know, we've got a good system here, and our bus fleet is in the best shape it's ever been, and, you know, I mean, so just hearing things like that, I wasn't talking about, oh, well, you know, how do you do this? But I hear some of those things from OSBA. I go to sort of transportation thing and hear Pete Japisky or whatever, who's a fanatic about transportation, and hear him talk about what best practices are, and as I heard him talk, I'm like, oh, check, check, okay. Check, that's what I've heard. And I feel really good about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like on replacement buses, the state determines when we can sell and get rid of a bus. And if we sell it early, we don't get money for that bus from the state. And I don't know, but it used to be 200,000 miles. So you do what you want with that bus. You got to get it to 200,000 miles. If it needs a new engine at 180, you're going to put a new engine in it at 180,000 miles. To get it to 200, and then you can make a decision. Oh, do we keep that bus for a longer period of time?
Amber alert,
I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I mean, I know it sounds like we've got some differences of opinion here.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're kind of working through some things and trying to come to better understanding of all of us, and we're being respectful. So I appreciate that very much. I think we can talk about if we want to consider moving resolutions, or if we want to, can maybe like a one by one kind of a thing or something, and just say, hey, you know,
right,
if it's,
right now, I mean, yeah. Let's just do the policy thing and just stick with that. I mean,
just start with the policies.
Yeah, just stick with the policies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And as we know, if it's a unique thing, then yes, with the resolutions for, you know, once every 5 years or something like that, yes.
And there's probably no problem with you calling, or me, or any mm-hmm. of us calling the superintendent and saying,
right.
Hey, I see this item in here, can we pull that one out?
You know, it's discretion and it becomes,
right.
Why do you want to pull it out?
That's
the flip side to that.
Right? Yeah.
It becomes, why do you want to pull
right.
it out?
It's, I guess sometimes if you hear that, I think that's an opportunity to reflect as well and say, maybe I'll call Sue, Nan, Bill, Dick, you know, and just say, hey, you know, do you have any concerns about this, or can you give me some information to make me feel more comfortable, you know? And even if it's just Jermaine, you know, maybe you don't feel completely comfortable, but can you try and, you know, maybe trust a little bit here and try and get some additional information, and if it's really, really bothering you, then maybe let's have a separate meeting with somebody first, if possible. I don't know.
If we went with the reform, that wouldn't necessarily have to happen because it's just the standard of practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it. But with it all being in consent, then it becomes like, well, mm-hmm. I think it signals to the administration, well, there's a problem with this. And mm-hmm. it may not be. It just means mm-hmm. I'm not ready to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't think it should be lumped in altogether. But mm-hmm. I think we don't have that consensus here yet.
Right.
Or the strong reason to do that. So
So we'll stick with the policies.
Okay.
Moving the policies out. And also we'll do HR plus, we'll talk about doing HR plus volunteer, and then superintendent other. do those separate?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, two, three. Okay. I think I've got that. I'll recap it at some point, guys. Okay, now we'll make this quick. So I just to give you an idea, Tom Holdren has been, he set up a Google document where the buildings are supposed to put in the businesses, contact name, and a brief description of what they have done. So I just printed off some of them. They're not due until a week from Friday, like right before spring break. You're supposed to have all of them in there. So some buildings have more than others. And you can see it's just a variety of things in there, too. You know, so something like Bigsby Coffee donated coffee for the staff at Mill Valley, you know. But if we, you know, one of Bill and I had decided early on that if we did donors, volunteers, and businesses, there's no way we can handle individually recognizing them as a board. And we didn't want to do another meeting because the more we talked about that, it's like, kind of like what Bill, how many people are actually going to show up in April or May, you know. So we thought the businesses was a good place to start because we really are focusing on partnering with businesses. One thought would just be to have cards that have Marysville's logo on them. We all sign our name on them. Thanks from Marysville BOE and our names, and maybe partner up or, you know, everybody get a handful of them to go and take them to the businesses personally, deliver them. That's one idea. That's going to probably be in that April, crazy April time frame.
Yeah.
I know some Bill says, not me.
We're doing that in April time.
Well, I mean, we could do it April, May, June, whatever, you know. I mean, now some of these are duplicated, so I'm going to work with Tom to be able to sort so that we can, you know, and even if we want to put thanks for, I mean, I don't know if we want to put thanks for what they did or...
Like a general support. Is it something like they'll be able to like hang in their business or like house that?
I guess that's what we have to think. Yeah. Do we want to give them something other than just a handwritten note?
Yeah. If we wanted to do something beyond just going to the business saying thank you, if we had invited them to come to a board meeting and had a bit of a reception where we had a chance to move around and talk with them, and then when our meeting starts, say, we've invited all their business supporters come in, we'd like to have all of them stand and be recognized. Maybe at the reception we have a certificate for them for whatever it is that they've done that they can take or whatever. We'd like to thank all these businesses, blah, 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 and not read off names of individuals, but just kind of
like, I was thinking more of it like an informal kind of gather reception or something of the sort. But I like the idea of
I think about a different date. I mean, a different date other than a regular board meeting.
Yeah.
We had talked about
that too.
That we didn't want to combine it on the same as a regular because we're doing good apples in April.
That's separate from this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I like the idea. I mean, you see the Journal Tribune little photo thing. And like, I know that's not what we're trying to do, replicate something like that, but something that they could take to their business, like proud supporter of Marysville Schools or some kind of something that they could also then broadcast and
put up on their wall somewhere.
And do it in a way that doesn't involve a lot of time for them.
Well, and I don't want to involve a lot of time for our staff either, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, it's our board recognition, so that's like, part of me is like, I don't want to create a lot of extra time, like who's going to be contacting them and inviting them, and then who's going to set up the, you know.
We better find out how many we got before we
make
these decisions.
But I mean, that would be one way to approach it.
Right.
Where we
invite them, have them stand up at the beginning.
Right. Just do a group recognition.
Right.
Have them pick up whatever we give ahead of time, give them a glass of punch or whatever.
We had talked about if we were going to do something like that, making it a date other than our regular board meeting. And for some reason, I was thinking like, I remember April 13th was a day that we had thrown out, but that's the FFA banquet.
Yes,
right.
It is.
But we might have had another, I don't know if we had a, I mean, like May just gets crazy, you know?
I think we'd be better off looking at July or August. I know that doesn't seem right, but so much happens in that April to May. I mean, not just graduation, but every...
Well, maybe we could send the invite out in April.
Oh.
To this, if we're having some kind of reception. Mm-hmm. And that way they're getting something. They're getting the thank you card.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can...
I just think it might be something good to do
in June or July.
Yeah.
Oh, that they make them?
May
or what?
Does not work for
or
me.
They could make them for us?
I retired for a
Again, and then also if we were...
Donation letters.
Do a little,
I need 35 donation letters.
Yeah, coffee.
It might be 100. Right.
Yeah.
Here's the addresses.
A little bit of recognition
socialize. Okay.
It's going to be your address. 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Because people
don't
are
have,
busy.
I don't have all the addresses. It's just, it's just something like just the reality of how much time. Like getting addresses for businesses or whatever.
I think it's important for us to figure out how to do this. And I think it's something we want to do, it's something we do. I mean, I think the administration should have their signatures on there or something. You know, I think it should be from everyone, but it's something we should do. Not necessarily taking school time to do it.
This is specifically going to be from the board.
From the board,
because the buildings they do recognition as well. I mean, they thank them and things like that.
Okay.
But I mean, that was my thought. It was like our work plan,
board,
you know.
Diane and Todd would be on the. They're the board, right?
Or yeah.
Like part of the governance team.
That'd be the women, probably.
Right. But I mean...
Yeah, yes, right.
Yeah, and I don't know whether they would still be able to do this or not, but when I was sending out things for mock trial and so forth, I'd get the business department to generate the letters, and they would put the letters together in the envelopes and put them in the school mail so that they just went out.
But do you think going to the business and doing that presentation, like us doing, breaking up the businesses and doing that, would that be probably a little bit more beneficial for bringing them to a meeting? Because then that's, I mean, think about how many pictures that, it's not about pictures, but that business could then, like, promote their, like, you know what I'm saying? There's an added value in showing up. Mm-hmm. We can't all show up together unless it's somehow we make that legal, but we can at least do two and present the whatever we're presenting.
Certificate or something.
Certificate and then have. Yeah, I don't know if that's an idea where we can just get us at their place and then somehow promote, have that being content being promoted throughout the rest of the summer. Because summer is going to be a low content year or period for the district social media, right? So maybe that could be a way.
It's like as we go to give them, then get a picture and send it to Diane so that she can
if
post
that's appropriate,
it.
And then during the summer months is when we highlight the business partner, community partners as part of our, social media calendar.
If we were to have a reception, we could set up a place, kind of a photo place like
the frame.
Just like,
you know.
With the mustache.
OSB or whatever, You know, and they pick up their award and stand there and get the picture or whatever. So I think all of those are great ideas. And so kind of talk to Diane and figure out what you think's the most doable.
And then how are we funding this? Is it something we need?
This would be through the board
service fund.
Board service fund.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, like
making
once we find out how many how many businesses there are, then we'll have a better idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moved.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I would accept a motion to adjourn. Thank you. Well, first, thanks, everybody. Good conversation. Yeah. Motion to adjourn?
Moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ferguson. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Yes. Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We are